The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Why the lakefront is seemingly realistic to Kevin Warren.
One of the things I always look at coming home to the city is I always look for cranes in the air.
Him and my son are the same.
And Solange. Oh, it's like,
Daddy, excavator.
And we didn't really specify what kind of cranes he's looking for.
I think it's
birds.
He's talking about like Solange, like cranes in the sky.
Cranes in the sky.
We don't have bird cranes here, do we?
Yeah, we do.
We do?
Yeah, ask Bernsey in transition tomorrow.
No.
That virgin will tell you all about it.
I don't want to ask him.
I always look for cranes in the air.
Gotta find the cranes. Dan Bernstein, our crane expert. Hi, Dan.
Why is Shane bothering me in the middle of my workout?
That's a good question.
You're our crane guy. Are there cranes in the sky?
Call Crane Kenny.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Here's what's really interesting. Just a couple of weeks ago, my dad and I, it was a beautiful Saturday or Sunday, my dad and I decided we were going to go for a walk, and there was a nature preserve just north of where my parents live. I think it's technically Lake Forest, and it's called the Middle Fork Nature Preserve. And I'm looking around, and there are sandhill cranes everywhere. These are massive birds that are instantly recognizable because of the streak of red on their head. They're known for their famous mating dance that you've seen like the kids perform on Letterman for years.
Is there a second half to this story, or was that
then
the dramatic
$5
finish?
Go away.
And they're everywhere.
This is too much, Dan.
You're going to get to the interesting part, right?
Just tell us about which cranes are
here. Here's the thing. I look at the distance and I said, wow, what is that built? Oh, that's the Walter Payton Center. The Sandhill Cranes are at Hallis Hall.
So
Kevin Warren should see plenty of cranes.
So both kinds.
And you look around and there were cranes everywhere.
Both kinds. He likes both kinds.
That's really interesting.
All right, Dan.
You called me, bitch.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim. Here we go. Here we go, Jeff.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Expertly done, as always, by Chris Tannehill. Upon reflection.
Yeah.
Who do you think was the bitch there, me or Shane? Because Shane's the one who called him.
First of all, I like that it wasn't even me.
There's no chance it was based on that recap.
Yeah. Also, I didn't call him. He called us,
oh,
bitch.
Did he really?
Oh, but you...
No!
Oh.
No!
I gave him the hotline number. He called us, bitch.
Oh, call him back.
Yeah, but if you texted him the hotline number, is that what you did?
That's exactly what I did. Yeah, that's not me calling him.
Yeah, you didn't call him.
I don't know. Is that
you reached
semantics?
Out to me, bitch.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a different thing. It's not calling.
I think it's Shane.
You think he was talking about Shane there?
I know you're prone to people thinking that people believe you are a bitch.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
What a nice...
Not a particularly good way to start.
Well, sometimes... You're just saying you've had a rough go on the internet.
All right, go ahead. I'm going to choose to not let that derail the show.
Nice job, Dan.
Yeah, no problem.
Way to go, man.
No problem. I brought it this way. Was he talking about me or Shane?
Yeah, you did.
I have to be open to the possibility that my partner thinks that it would be normal for me to be called a bitch all the time.
Right.
I have to. Yeah, that's on me.
Hey, let me lighten this up and tell you that the last person who did call me a bitch was buried at sea and then I murdered his children. So be real careful of who's calling me a bitch.
Well, that'll make Wings and Rings an interesting broadcast tomorrow for their down a Bernstein. He was killed and beheaded and buried at sea.
Not on his birthday.
Celebrating his birthday is correct.
All right. Well.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good.
It's good.
Yeah.
We have polls position in 30 minutes. And, you know, we do a pre-show meeting. We talk about, you know, micro and macro things with the show. It goes anywhere from 2 minutes to too long. And, you know, today, one of the questions was like, what are we going to lead with? What's the top story? And I had some ideas, but generally speaking, a rule of this is like whatever we're most passionate about. And I got to be honest, you outpassioned me today in the meeting, but not in a place where I expected us to begin.
Yeah, well, you know, I really think everybody's been struggling with this idea of whether the Bears are serious about the lakefront or not. And we covered it in the 5 o'clock hour yesterday.
Yep.
And there are some reasons why I think they are. And some of them is, you know, the smaller investment that it would be on the lakefront as opposed to the behemoth that is the Arlington Heights project. The hassle that it would be to own all that land out in Arlington Heights as opposed to the cleanliness of just being a renter. Oh, yeah, got a problem, call the landlord, and not dealing with property taxes, all that kind of stuff. And I hadn't realized that this quote from George McCaskey was out there with Patrick Finley in the Chicago Sun-Times. And it was in that article from, I guess, from yesterday about, you know, everything Kevin Warren said. But then George said off to the side with Patrick Finley, quote, "One of the concerns with Arlington was if we couldn't even have a resolution of short-term property taxes, how did that bode for the next 40 years, says George McCaskey, about the kerfuffle with the property taxes. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? That if right here upon entry, George McCaskey's like, what the hell, man? They're giving us a hard time about that because the school board rightfully deserves our money with the property taxes. So now we're a pawn in like the politics of this town. I know we always thought this was going to be good, but do I really want to deal with that? That fits in very cleanly with what I suspect is happening, which is a family business thinking about it, maybe under the allure of Kevin Warren's politicking with them and Kevin Warren's vision for all of this, and now the city working with them and the romanticism mixed in with some of the cleaner practicality of just not wanting to deal with being in the real estate business and the hotel business out there in Arlington Heights and all that stuff and deal with all that politics and just keep renting. You know, a lot of people rent. Jerry Jones rents. Arlington, Texas owns Jerry World. It's still called his. Still the jewel of the Cowboys, right? But Jerry pays rent on that and doesn't have to deal with infrastructure and things like that. So I'm taking this way more seriously than I expected to, and I think other people probably should start doing it as not just a leverage ploy, because I think I see the desire for something cleaner on the lakefront rather than Arlington Heights, even though that would be financially beneficial in all the ways we have been talking about.
All right, so few things.
Yes.
One that was very well done. It was expertly done.
Well,
you know baseball starts tomorrow? Guys, how surprised are you that there was an opening before the show
for a lead?
For what, for the lead?
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow is opening day.
Yeah, that's true.
Of Major League Baseball.
I did a lot of baseball in transition.
We've got Nico Horner on the show. We have Council on the show tomorrow. We got remote broadcast. The Cubs are on national TV. We're going to be out at opening day.
There was
an opening.
And here
there was a non-Caleb Williams dominant opening.
Yeah.
The owner spoke, the coach spoke, the GM spoke.
Sure.
All of these things. And it was just, there was just this huge matzo ball that was right there for you to dig into.
And I came in guns a-blazing with property taxes and Arlington Heights
just in the, like,
governmental
the latest,
kerfuffles.
Like, I really think you guys should be paying attention and taking this more serious for a stadium that may or may not open by 2027 in the current location or a different location.
Guilty.
And it's a quote from yesterday. What has happened to my baseball guy? Am I going to have to watch the White Sox? Am I filling in on his run?
At least early, Ted. Yeah. He's got to watch him early, see if they got any fire.
I have the latest radio data here, or data,
okay.
And it says property taxes right here gets the people going. I have it.
What happened to Spiegel? This is when he's supposed to be coming in with XFIP and VORP.
Oh, yeah.
BABIP.
That'll keep him in.
And he's supposed to be, and we're supposed to be shooting down his hit and run topics and making the baseball topics more relatable.
Sure.
And he's like,
I'll work on that. It's a long season.
No.
It's a marathon. It doesn't even
You're
start until
tell him.
Can we just get to the playoffs? But I'm serious.
I understand.
What happened to Spiegs?
You want the answer?
I guess so.
I mean, unless you guys have an answer, feel free.
No, I'm looking for some confirmation.
Thank you, Stoney.
As that this doesn't make any damn sense.
Steve Stone will be on Hit and Run this Sunday at 10 a.m., as a matter of fact.
Excellent.
Enjoy it.
I'll ask him questions, and he will say, no. That's what I'll say. Here's what happened.
All right.
You know how I roll, because we're similar. We've bonded over this sometimes. You've talked about how when somebody dies, all of a sudden you end up reading obits and going on the curiosity.
Yeah.
Going down the curiosity rabbit hole.
Yeah.
This is what has happened to me. I ended up with some well-sourced individuals and a couple of sources myself that would talk to me about this stuff, and I found myself getting legitimately interested. And now I can't get enough. I start to understand. I'm like, Pat Quinn says he wants the people to vote on it in November. Does that affect the deadline for the 2% tourism tax loophole at the end of the year if it's voted down in November? I didn't bring that to the table, but it's rolling around my head, Danny.
Good.
It's rolling around there.
Good. That's when the baseball playoffs are, October and November.
But I've learned stuff.
Yeah,
I
learning is good and exciting and invigorating.
Yeah. It's invigorating. I get excited about it. So that's why the passion was there, is I feel like I understand something that I never really understood that much.
Okay.
Now I get it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Who doesn't understand taxes, by the way?
Yeah, we're not going to – you don't have to out you for any of that.
Sounds like he wants to out himself.
I can explain taxes to you. No problem. You come to me. And I thought the agreement was, when we talked about this in the pre-show, we weren't going to go in specifics on the taxes. We were just going to go talking about the stadium.
I didn't. Okay. I just referenced – because when they rent, Shane, they don't pay them. And isn't that better? Just eliminating them from their perspective and maybe from the listeners as well. Just thoroughly eliminate the property taxes from conversation.
I don't know who you are anymore. I don't know who doing this show with 4 hours a day. I'm very now concerned about baseball season, and it's going to be problematic for me.
I understand.
So,
well, I'm your guy. I got the stadium stuff on lockdown.
Yeah.
I got all the baseball stuff. We got plenty of that.
I got plenty of baseball too, which I'll get to here in a second. Because that's where I thought we were going to start.
Yeah.
But
I'm also ready for your Caleb thoughts today.
I got plenty of them, as always. The thing about the lakefront and what George McCaskey said is, I just think he might be that idea of, if this was difficult, imagine what the next 40 years are going to be. And I'm surprised about the idea of politics getting involved. What has it been like with the city of Chicago and the Park District for the last 50 years?
The devil, you know. That's what they're looking at. A newness and getting it right on the lakefront with the devil, you know.
Well, right, but the new devil, to use that terminology, that analogy of Arlington Heights, as far as I understand it, it basically is just, you got to iron out all that details at the beginning, but then you own it.
Then you own it.
You got to pay property taxes.
Sure,
but then you own it.
And then at the end, you'll have to do this all again, and you've got a depreciating asset. You'll have to rebuild instead of, like, it's not like a
Are
house.
Are you saying in 40 years when new Soldier Field isn't?
Or 30 years or whatever.
But that's an issue.
But it's different than the benefits of buying. Like, the benefit of buying is that you're getting equity, and in the end, you're going to flip that, and you will end up richer. This, they will make more money along the way, for sure, but it's not like the equity is part of the allure. But here's the other thing, Danny.
They bought 320 acres of land.
Yeah, I know, and they could sell that and not really lose much money.
I know, but that shows what they wanted to do.
I agree. So I don't buy this idea that was the leverage ploy. Somebody brought that up via text yesterday, that they bought in Arlington Heights to get the city to come calling to them so they could work with them. I don't buy that. What I think happened was they ended up hiring a guy in Kevin Warren who's way better at this than Ted Phillips. He's better at it. And he opened up all the possibilities like you should. And now they've got a young, partially naive mayor coming and kissing their ring and being like, yes, please, instead of Lori Lightfoot with a chip on her shoulder. It's a mayor in a city that's like, yes, what can we do? What can we do for you? And guess what? The state will say the same thing about the money that they ask for as opposed to Arlington Heights. Oh, this is going to be connected to the infrastructure and cleaning up the lakefront access, which has had to happen for 15 years. Why, yes, we'll make sure that your funding gets passed. Much easier than Arlington Heights funding.
Okay,
in my opinion,
consider me skeptical of the whole thing. And by the way, the idea of I know we got a break. All the new access points to the museum campus. It's going to help the museums too. You ever gone to the Shedd Aquarium,
dude? It's the gondolas.
I know, but
we've gone over this.
But when you go to the Shedd Aquarium, it's fine. Like, the issue isn't, it's not hard to get to the Museum of Science and Industry. It's only hard
if you science and industry is down there. Well, but, the field?
It's not hard to get to them.
I disagree. I think it's a pain in the ass.
Well, it's a pain in the ass for you, Speaks, because you're not using Lakeshore. If you're using Lakeshore from the south or north, it's very easy. Those are four lanes each way.
Well, right.
You're going straight east.
But it's only hard if you're trying to get 70,000 people to the Shedd Aquarium. It's not hard to, you know, like, the reason Soldier Field's a pain in the ass is because you're trying to get 70,000 people into that shoehorned area. I don't find the Shedd Aquarium to be particularly difficult to access.
I actually do. The Shedd and the field sometimes is a major pain in the ass, especially if you're trying to walk. And this would all be about bridges too, like trying to walk there, not just driveways.
Yeah.
So, but that's a very convenient thing to be able to use. Is see what we're doing is really going to help the city.
We're helping museums.
Correct.
That's what these NFL teams care about. We care about your access to go see fish. Not at Alpine Valley. We already gave away those tickets. Yeah. I know.
Congratulations to all of you.
Brock Huard on Rome Odunze, another Washington prospect who sneaky could be in line for the Bears in the first round. That's in 20 minutes. I got a thought exercise for your beloved baseball. I was thinking about what did we miss yesterday.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. This whole thing is role reversal. It's like Bizarro Seinfeld episode. I feel very uncomfortable.
Seinfeld reference.
Dogs and cats living together. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Mango.
Afternoons on the Score.
A patented Danny Parkins thought exercise. We got polls position coming up in just over 10 minutes. Brock Huard, excellent analyst. Covers the Pac-12 all-college football, knows the Washington Huskies in and out, will help us talk about Rome Odunze and others. But when we did our Cubs and Sox wagers on the show yesterday, I think you said in passing, like, what have we left out? You know, we talked about Nico Horner and stolen bases. We had who was going to be the highest F4 player for Luis Robert v. Dansby Swanson. We covered the opening day starters, Garrett Crochet and Justin Steele, Cody Bellinger, Seiya Suzuki, Eloy. And so I was just looking at it as Shane put it out on the Parkinson Spiegel account, like all eight of the bets pretty cleanly. And I was looking at it, I was like, I'm Morel and Moncada. We didn't mention him.
It's pretty natural for third base conversation.
That's what I'm saying. We didn't mention it. We didn't talk about it. And so
yeah, we touched on Morel because Shane is so hot for Patrick Wisdom's home run numbers.
Exactly.
And his devilishly handsome looks.
Thank you.
Friend of the show.
Who wouldn't be?
Patrick Wisdom. We appreciate it.
Called
as
him
always.
A handsome man on a Cubs broadcast. Ron Coomer did not appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, that was something that you said.
Hello!
Who would you expect to have a higher war this year? Christopher Morel or Yoan Moncada?
Boy, it's a good question.
Well, I put it out on Twitter, and I have a poll result for you.
Oh, I like it.
I don't
it.
Know if you've seen it.
I have not seen it. I'm tempted.
Do you follow
to...
me on Twitter? Okay, continue.
Dude, you're not muted.
Go ahead.
Anymore. So I'm tempted to look at their old F4 numbers.
I can never tell if he's joking or not.
that's a good partnership, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that a good partnership?
Every segment of today's show, he's going to say something that's just going to be a little too real.
Well,
little too real, ladies and gentlemen.
No. You were never muted. You were
no,
never
it's
muted.
Fine if I was. Yeah, it's just the internet.
That's you're not the one here at the station that I
can. I get it. Continue.
Is there a positive vibe in here right now?
There is.
No.
Well, there is. Stoney, you're wrong.
Who would you expect to have a higher war this year? Christopher Morel or Yoan Moncada?
I got to say, I think it's Christopher Morel because the offense is just it's going to be there. But boy, that's a great one. It's a really good one because if they bail on the Morel third base thing at some point, it will be for DH at bats. And he's not going to get much there. Like, I saw that J.D. Martinez, I think, was only a 2.2 war player as a full-time DH last year. And people are using that to denigrate him. And I think he's an absolute monster and will be so again for the Mets, even at age, 36 or whatever the hell he is. I guess if he's healthy and he plays more... I don't know. I think I'd still say Morel, but I could see Moncada being the answer.
So I voted for Moncada. That was my thought because defense matters, and he's a much better defensive player, and I'm confident that he will be playing defense all season.
Yeah.
Over 71% of people, and I'm admitting that, you know, this could be a sampling issue, that I've got more Cubs fans that follow me than Sox fans. So 71% said that Morel would have the higher WAR than Moncada, and I looked it up on FanGraphs.
Mm-hmm.
Moncada is projected to beat him comfortably, 2.3 to 1.7.
Because of the reason you said, I will play defense, which matters, and very good on defense, Yoan Moncada.
Yeah, because like a guy with a Cubs avatar came in and was like, why is this a question? Moncada is crap. Tell me you know nothing about baseball by telling us you know nothing. Good thing Spiegs is your partner. Go find another Caleb jersey.
That's hilarious.
Like, first of all, Spiegs only wants to talk about the stadium, sir. I am your home for opening day Cubs and White Sox content.
No,
and I already have one Caleb jersey.
He's showing with that he knows nothing about how F-War is calculated.
Yep.
And he may disagree with how it's calculated in terms of what's important.
Yeah, it's half a point difference. It's not that significant. Obviously, it could be either guy.
Yeah.
But it's definitely close, and the numbers would suggest that it should be Moncada if both play a full season of games.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Let's add it.
I think we should add it.
We should definitely add it.
I think we should add it.
Because those are two very important touchstone players.
Moncada, one of the biggest storylines for the Sox, if for no other reason than to try to salvage some value and trade him. Morel transitioning possibly to having a defensive position. Certainly the biggest headline that Craig Counsell generated as a manager so far.
Let's give it to Morel. Give him third base. Yeah, and I think it's important to continue the conversation about F-War and to use it because of just how much it is valued within the game. Remember that they're moving towards using a system like that to base some salaries. And I don't mean just in arbitration, but in some of the other ways that in the CBA that they're going to end up proposing and talking about to base, like, you know, quality of payment and other things are going to be based with F-War as part of the formula. So understanding how that works, as opposed to B-War, which is the Baseball Reference version, and ESPN's version, I believe, is still yet a third version.
Yeah.
So it's the FanGraphs one that gets the most respect within the industry and is worth tracking. So, yeah, it's a good one.
All right.
I got to give it up.
There we go.
I don't feel good about it. Giving it up.
I wouldn't expect you to.
You know?
I wouldn't expect you to.
Here's a real moment that happened off the air. Danny, do you know how many NFL owners actually own their own stadium? How many of them rent? Long pause. And I said, you know what? I'll look that up myself. I'll take care of that. That's my lane. Yeah. You don't care.
No, I mean, listen, I'm the one who said on the show for the first time, hey, you know, Jerry Jones rents. They did the hotel tax thing down there, and he actually doesn't even own Jerry World. And when we were talking about public funding,
and guess what?
And if one of the richest guys got public funding, then why would I expect the Bears not to be able to do that thing? So, like, I knew that and made the point, but I still don't care.
As of 2019, 28 of the 32 NFL teams play in stadiums that are rented. Only four teams in the NFL own. And as of 2022, of the 30 stadiums housing 32 NFL franchises, 27 were completed using taxpayer funds.
Come on, Tanny. Come on.
100, 500, 400, 600.
Come on, don't make me do it.
112, 129, 101, 126, 148, 116, 152, 117, 103.
Yeah, it sounds like you calculating F-4 over there, baseball nerd.
2.3 against 1.7. It's easy.
It's just that easy.
It was easy.
Yeah, I don't have the four.
It was simple.
I don't have
the
four.
You don't have the
four? No, but I know that the Packers rent, and I know that all but four teams as of 2019 were renting. So this is not some weird anomaly that the Bears might be on the precipice of choosing.
All right, if it's okay with you, let's talk about some players that could be on the Bears.
Oh, actual players on sports teams?
Yeah, on sports teams.
I like it.
All right, excellent. Brock Heward, excellent college football analyst, has great insight into Roma Dunze and more next on The Score.